But since it is MLK Day, Gordo, it's time for a history lesson.
Yes, indeed. And Fernando's out today. He originally was going to read this, but filling in from today is Killer. Killer, come on in the studio here.
And Killers.
Yeah. We always like it when Killer's filling in because Killer's such a good friend of this program in particular. I think we're his favorites.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. I think this show makes Killer nervous.
I don't think it makes him nervous. Now, I asked Killer to read his little essay here on Dr. Martin Luther King, and this kind of gives some history of the day and of Dr. Martin Luther King's work in a historical context. Killer, how you doing?
Not good.
Oh, no.
See what I mean? Why are you not doing good?
Because I'm really regretting paying you to write my reports.
I didn't write this. I actually think it's really good. I think you did an excellent job with it, Killer. So here to, you can hit the patriotic music. Now, we'll just let him read it cold.
Yeah.
Here's Killer with his Dr. Martin Luther King essay.
Over the centuries, numerous orators have risen to the prominence for their eloquence in addressing the problematical issues of their societies. Cicero, is that right? Cicero is an eminent for speaking out against the tyrannical Churchill for his witticisms and expressive repartee. All of these individuals had shared unifying desires, the hope for a better tomorrow. This desire is utmost critical, if not important, irreplaceable tenet of our American dream. The American dream holds in itself the capacity for radical change and impetus towards progresses, and above all, a substantive belief in the human's agency's ability to bring about equality and judicial justice from the injustices of the from before. Not one other figures in the American history better than this, that which embodies this hope, than the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Throughout American history, and indeed, there has always existed a correlation but not causation between communities of color and poverty. At first glances, one might be assumed that the link that somehow can be explained by the actions or attitudes of the peoples themselves. This is where the negative stereotypes begin to arise. The belief that the reason why people of color are prone to disproportionate rates of crime, poverty, and suffering is because of their own self-defeating actions. This makes total sense. However, this view is entirely distorted. The ultimate cause of the problem is enormously greater, as their interrelationship can be traced to the structure of society itself. In societies, there has always existed an intersectionality, whether they be economy, culture, or ideologic structure. I'm shaking. This disadvantaged certain individuals of color from having the same opportunities of color for success as others. In conclusion, America during the Civil Rights era serves as a cogent example of this. The black versus white dichotomy was significantly pronounced. Consequently, racial tensions ran high. In walks Dr. Martin Luther King. Dr. Martin is perhaps the most recognized for his advocacy of nonviolent pseudo forms of civil disobedience. He recognizes that only when we couch action in peaceful rhetorical. Can we achieve a productive, substantive, sustainable, dynamic freeform, free from violence and destruction? In other words, do not fight fire with fire or even non-fire. The writings of Dr. Martin encouraged breaking the law because he recognizes that reliance on flawed legality materializes the permanence of racism entrenchment in that very system in which it is entrenched. I freaking love Dr. Martin Luther King because of all the badass things he did for the blacks.
Quite a departure in writing style there.
He not only gave some real good speeches that encouraged people to be friends, whether they were in the whites or the blacks. In conclusion, Dr. King stated most unequivocally, The threat of injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. This is a cool thing, he said. He eviscerated his foes with his deconstructionism tendencies and intersectionality. If he were alive today and wasn't shot through the face by an evil white supremacy man, then I think he would still, to this day, very day, be alive and fighting for not just one of the people, but all of the people. God bless him all day today.
That's a pretty good paper.
It was actually pretty good. You did a good job.
Did I?
Yeah. I mean, I think that your writing, it sometimes is a little bit confusing. There was some jargon in there, but you're a college guy. You know, you're educated, so you're using a lot of the buzzwords there, but it was a brilliant testament to his work.
I don't like you calling him Dr. Martin.
Yeah, that was a typo on my part.
That's
sorry.
Weird.
Dr. King is more
right.
Reverent.
It was a mixture of formality and informality there. Dr. Martin.
After doing the research, I felt like I was one-on-one with Martin, you know.
Martin.
You know, Marty and I are good friends now.
Oh, jeez. Well, thank you, Killer. That was wonderful.
It was beautiful, Killer. I apologize if I was laughing at points.
I didn't hear you.
Okay, good.
He was in the zone,
yeah,
Craig.
Yeah.
He was in the zone. He couldn't hear.
It was a very dramatic reading of it.
Yeah,
too.
He tuned out the class and was just in the zone doing exactly as he had rehearsed it.
I could tell.
Now, notice when you were reading, you had shake hand a little bit.
I have shake hand really bad right now.
I told you, this show makes Killer nervous.
It couldn't be the 5 cups of coffee I've already had today.
Oh, yeah. We made you get up early this morning. Yeah. You're not used to this.
No.
No, not at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is the most beloved member
Thank you.
Of the ticket staff, Killer.